Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place, just lift your voice and say,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Forget the hurries, throw your problems away.
Welcome to the Village Celebration Podcast. So glad that you are with us. What a day it has been. We have a story that has shocked, I imagine, people who thought they'd seen and heard it all. It involves George Zimmerman, remember? The volunteer watchman down in Florida. So we have an update on what he has done lately, his most recent shenanigan. We're also going to talk politics. Brokered convention for the Democrats? Did Donald Trump and Paul Ryan make peace? And then we're going to lighten things up a little bit and head to Memphis for the Memphis in May Festival. Some great pictures for you to see on our website, The Village Celebration. And we're also going to talk with Village contributor Kyle Nelson about his trip to the Memphis in May Festival. But let's start with George Zimmerman.
Please be seated. Members of the jury, have you reached a verdict? If you'll please fold the verdict form and hand it to Deputy Jarvis.
In the Circuit Court of the 18th Judicial Circuit in and for Seminole County, Florida, State of Florida versus George Zimmerman, verdict, we the jury find George Zimmerman not guilty. So say we all, four person.
That verdict was read on a hot July day in 2013. Many listened in stunned silence, and today there was more astonishment as plans to auction the gun that George Zimmerman used to kill 17-year-old Trayvon Martin were halted just minutes before the bidding began. In an audaciously bold move, Zimmerman decided to sell the gun. The former neighborhood watchman told a Florida television station the pistol was returned to him by the U.S. Justice Department after he was acquitted. Tracy Martin, Trayvon's father, released a statement about the attempt to auction the gun. It reads, "The Trayvon Martin Foundation is committed to its mission of ending senseless gun violence. We are laser focused on furthering that mission. As such, the foundation has no comment on the actions of that person that murdered Trayvon." The auction for the 9mm Kel-Tec PF9 was scheduled to start at 11 Eastern Time this morning and end 24 hours later, but minutes after the bidding was to begin, the weapon was removed from the gunbroker.com website. According to that auction listing, a portion of the proceeds from the auction would be used to fight what Zimmerman called violence by the Black Lives Matter movement and the campaign of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. No word yet from the Clinton campaign on their being involved in this via George Zimmerman, but Hillary Clinton is the keynote speaker for the annual Circle of Mothers Conference, which is organized by Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon's mother. The conference will be held next weekend, May 20th through 22nd in Fort Lauderdale. Sabrina Fulton has endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. She did so in January, calling the former Secretary of State a champion of gun control. I spoke with the public relations representative for Sabrina Fulton and Tracy Martin, and they declined further comment beyond the statement that Mr. Martin issued earlier today. Zimmerman, as you know, shot and killed Trayvon Martin at a gated community in Orlando. That was in 2012. He claimed he acted in self-defense, but the killing of Trayvon, along with the police-involved killings of Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Walter Scott, and others, sparked, as you know, a national debate that continues and a renewal of social justice efforts not seen since the civil rights movement. Hillary Clinton, as I mentioned, is the keynote speaker for the annual Circle of Mothers Conference next weekend. And next week, here in the Village, Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon's mother, will join us to talk about that Circle of Conference and her son. So make sure you join us in the Village next week. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Glenn. Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation. Yeah. He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim. Relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Podcast. Mundell Robinson, our contributor, our political analyst, is in the studio today from Washington, D.C. And so we will talk politics in just 1 second. But before we go into our political discussion, Mundell, I want to know what you think about this business with George Zimmerman's gun, the one he used to take the life of a 17-year-old teenager.
So, first of all, let's just call it disgusting as it is, as an act. We know this is the second time he's tried to pawn or sell this gun that he called a piece of history.
And he did call it a piece of history, indicating that the Smithsonian is interested in owning it, which the Smithsonian has said is not true.
Right. And, I mean, this just goes on with the pathological personality that we're learning that George Zimmerman has. Anyone who stalks a kid in their own neighborhood for illegitimate reasons and then eventually murder this kid, we know something's wrong with their psyche anyway, and this behavior is just continuing.
You know, I wonder what the jurors who acquitted him think every time they hear of another outrageous decision.
So as a person who has made a lot of mistakes, I just pray for them because I know it has to be heavy on their heart. Every time his name is mentioned, that they're part of the reason this man is walking down the street. But also, this is the justice system that we live in. When you know, we can't just say the jurors, the 12 jurors are guilty in this. The entire justice system has a role to play in it, or injustice system, because it's long been par for the course to kill blacks with no repercussions in this country.
And as we said in our earlier report, the death of Trayvon Martin was a watershed moment. It reignited a conversation long overdue about the injustice that we see in our criminal, quote unquote, justice system.
And you're absolutely right. It is because of Trayvon Martin that we have Black Lives Matter and that entire movement is around that. I would tell us that, you know, it's important that we are aware of what's going on. George Zimmerman is out trying to pawn the gun he murdered Trayvon Martin with when we can't even get Homer from Plessy versus Homer recognized as a hero. You know, it was his case that led to the doctrine of separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, coming up on the 120th anniversary 6 days from now, and it's directly linked. I mean, when you know we need 100,000 signatures and we only have 800 and we only have, you know, less than a week to do this, we see, you know, this is all connected.
So where do we go to sign the petition?
To the White House petition. You know, if you get 100,000 signatures, then the president will consider it. So I'm sad that it takes 100,000 signatures to consider correcting or rectifying a harm as such, as ugly as Homer versus Plessy.
But there is so much injustice as it relates to our community. Mm-hmm. I mean, why does it take so many lives before we are willing to have another discussion about the injustice in the criminal system, in the criminal justice system? Why does it take the deaths of so many Black men and women before we even revisit the question of why it's happening?
Well, it's long been law that America has a high tolerance for Black pain. So our pain doesn't ring true like dogs or the environment or the harms of white Americans. Prime example is we have a public health crisis with the heroin addiction now. But in the 80s, crack epidemic wasn't a public health crisis. It was just criminals and thugs that needed to be arrested and warehoused.
So much so that many police departments now carry the drug to help those who have experienced an overdose of heroin.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure they had such a drug to help those on crack.
Yeah, that drug was called prison, unfortunately. Mm. So,
you know, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was waiting for your question.
Well, we could talk about this for at least another hour or two, but let's talk a little bit about Democrats. Let's shift the gears. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Bernie's still burning.
Feel the burn. I'm interested in, you know, Bernie has 1,421 delegates right now. So
that's quite a few.
That's enough to make the case that, hey, we're going to have a brokered convention. I don't know. Maybe it'll be contested. But I think in the end, Hillary Clinton's still the nominee for the Democrats. I mean, the Democrats, they've made sure that she is. I mean, they are setting up. If you see how they're raising money, Hillary Clinton actually said she was raising money. You know, it was a big problem when Bernie wouldn't sign up to say, I'll raise money for down ballots as well. But there's been connections to the DNC, Hillary Clinton's campaign, and them extracting money more than giving back to state parties. And you know, DNC shouldn't be tied into Hillary's fundraising right now because she's not.
You mean
not
they shouldn't have a dog in this fight?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, look, you're supposed to be
neutral.
Neutral. Nonpartisan. Oh, I think that's how it's supposed to be.
I think you have to go to Switzerland for that. But anyway, on the Republican side, they seem to have moved toward at least the appearance of unifying. True?
The tragic. Well, today we saw Speaker Ryan take back his comments and even call Donald Trump warm and genuine, which is scary to me. But to me, Donald Trump is the child, the bad child that does so much bad. If he does one thing small, one inkling of a good thing, people try to latch onto that. But Donald Trump is a fester in our society, but he's also a resemblance of the policies of the Republican Party. I mean, he can only exist in a world that has for so long touted uglies like the president's Muslim. Not that being a Muslim is anything wrong with that, but doubting someone's religion, the president's not an American citizen, and so many other worse things that the Republican parties are responsible for. And the tragedy is the Republicans don't really suffer alone when we have a two-party system, which is bad enough. But when one of those parties is not functioning properly, we all suffer, especially those of us that are members of the minority population, because the one party that is kind of functioning properly, the Democrats, get to take us for granted because they know we're not going to vote for the other party. So they can spend less time talking about real issues and just pointing out how bad the other people are.
Hillary Clinton does seem to have a sensitivity to the violence in the African-American community. Now, I'm pointing to her participation in this upcoming conference with Sabrina Fulton. She's met with a number of the mothers who have lost sons at the hands of police. And she and her husband have a track record, if you will, of being involved and engaged in the concerns of the African-American community. More so than Bernie Sanders? Is that fair?
No.
It's not fair.
Not fair. It's actually inaccurate. Let me explain. So the Clintons are great politicians, master politicians, I would say. And they do have the perception of caring about black folk. I would actually argue that the Clintons are the reason, more so than any other modern presidents, that so many black folk are locked up. I mean, we know that prison population expanded because of
during
the crime
his
bill.
Term.
Absolutely, and it was the crime bill. And she, in her own memoirs, touted this as one of her greatest accomplishments. And then if you couple that with the fact that they cut SNAP by 65%, not reducing poverty by 65%, so you force people to be hungry. People that were already living on the margins are forced to live off less. I mean, and then so the Clintons have this idea that they can, you know, say certain things during the election cycle, and we tend to, let's coalesce behind them. And that's usually what happens. Unfortunately, if we look at Bernie Sanders as a person, even back to his college days, he's always said what's right for us. I mean, like, when the cameras are not rolling, right?
So we're talking about that picture of Bernie Sanders chained to, I believe it was a pole.
Well, even before the picture, because at that point there was a picture, right? But, right. You know, we're talking about a person who was almost
and this
kicked
was
out of
a
college.
Civil rights it's what, protest.
It was.
And he was clearly involved and being penalized for his involvement.
Right. Well, he was actually the president of CORE at his school, and his grades were, you know, failing because of his activities in the protests. So this is a person who had no political gain, nothing politically to gain at that time because he was a teenager, but he was putting his body online in a dangerous time to be aligning yourself with those that are less.
So why do you think the Sanders campaign is not more vocal about his work on behalf of African Americans?
I think just because of that. I think it's his work, and let's just say he's, first of all, he's tone deaf to national politics. He's used to running campaigns in Vermont. So the Clintons are masters at national messaging and who you and how you play to certain populations. You could see this when she left New York talking about issues of airplane noise in Queens, and then went to South Carolina, and immediately she was at every black church that following Sunday. So this is something she's skilled in, and for this good or bad, depending on who you ask, we offer our church, our pulpit, to the Clintons way too easy, if you ask me, especially when they have so many unanswered questions. I mean, it was here in Arkansas that the Clintons, you know, killed a handicapped man when he was running for president the first time and got caught having an affair with one of his staffers in Boston, right? So he came
Let's
back.
Let's put a pin in that, okay. Because we have unpacked a lot that needs to be examined. We'll take a break and come back more with our political analyst and contributor, Mondale Robinson. Stay with us.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Surgery is an option, but did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and UAMS.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
That moment, we arrived in the scene.
The storm had nearly destroyed the area.
This was our own community. Friends, family, people we grew up with, went to school with, we were there to help.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
They made it down to the storm cellar, but the house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had chainsaws going, and we had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Right here, close to home, in my state.
It was one of those life-changing moments where I realized I am making a difference in these people's lives and mine. I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
You can serve part-time and be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Podcast. We are glad that you have joined us. Make sure you stay with us because coming up, we are going to Memphis for a look at the Memphis in May Festival. There are some photos if you would like to take a look on our website, thevillagecelebration.com. We're talking with Kyle Nelson when we return, but right now, Mundell Robinson joining us to continue our discussion about politics and what many consider the Clintons' mastery of national politics.
Indeed, and let's be serious about the issue. I mean, we, as minorities in this country, we need to be aware anyway because we are victims of both parties. And the Clintons are not the first people to master national politics, but they do it so well and so masterfully that they own the black vote.
So let's talk about this case we were discussing right as we went to break.
Yes,
it involves a man named Ricky Ray Rector.
Yes,
who shot several people at a restaurant in Conway, Arkansas, and a few days later he shot a police officer, and then he turned the gun, I believe, on himself.
Right. He tried to commit suicide, and basically what they said was Mr. Rector, when he shot himself in an attempt for suicide, had basically effectively committed a lobotomy on himself. That's how much of his brain had been removed with it. That's kind of grotesque, but that's what happened.
So he ended up on death row, and he was executed. And
yes.
President Clinton, who was then governor, allowed the sentencing, and I'm assuming did not pardon him or did not commute the sentence to life in prison.
Exactly. And what happened was it was a very, because of the nature of the crime that Mr. Rector had committed, it was a very contested and politically hot issue. And, of course, Republicans wanted him executed, and Clinton wasn't addressing it until something happened on the campaign where it became politically savvy for him to come back and give the Republicans this sort of as an acquiescence.
And so Ricky Ray Rector, the day of his execution, had his last meal, and it was pretty clear from some of his actions that he did not understand the full extent of what was happening. Tell us more.
Yeah, absolutely. So during his last meal, Mr. Rector actually saved some of his food, his pie, I think, for later consumption. This is his last meal. He's about to be executed. He wraps up a piece of his pie for his next meal.
So he clearly did not understand.
Good. I mean, there was international outcry behind this situation. And then later, the Supreme Court, of course, came back and said it was in violation of the Constitution.
Well, one of the criticisms of the Clintons that has lingered for years is that they do what is politically expedient.
Yes.
And that's always been a criticism. What is the criticism of Bernie Sanders? That he's tone deaf? However you look at it, they seem to still have a real fight on their hands. And is it helping the Republicans?
No, not at all. I think for me, I believe wholeheartedly that iron sharpens iron. So I believe as long as the Democrats are, you know, talking about issues and they're not in the space that the Republicans were in during their nomination process, I don't see any harm in this. Besides, it also counters the amount of free news that Donald Trump gets. So if as long as there are two Democrats in it, I think it benefits the Democratic Party to have both of them still going at it.
Meanwhile, Trump, as you pointed out, and Ryan are practically taking selfies together.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. Today, the good thing, though, is this makes it what we're not talking about. And a lot of my cohorts are not really saying this because they think it's not a possibility, but Donald Trump is going to be an extremely negative. He's going to be a dead weight on down ballot races. People are not going to turn out for Republican. You know, the top of the ticket usually bring out the vote, mm-hmm. and this is how people win. But the Republican Party doesn't benefit from a high turnout race. I mean, they're not a national party anymore. I mean, they can't win a national election with the white male vote only. The growing population is you need women and minorities, mainly black and brown votes, and they can't do that. His negatives are so high in all three of those categories that it's hilarious.
In the national polls that I see, though, that gap between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton is closing. So this could turn out, if Hillary Clinton emerges as the Democratic nominee, to be a real fight for her.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Everything until it's until people are nominees, everything is just hypothetical. So people aren't taking it serious.
It's like the preseason in football.
It's all speculation at this point. Those polls really don't mean anything. I wouldn't put too much weight on a poll about Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump right now. I think if Hillary Clinton is faced against Donald Trump in a general election, she's probably going to have the largest victory of any modern president, even more than Ronald Reagan. I do.
Even if the Republicans get to Cleveland and they just make happy and everybody's playing nicely in the sandbox, you
still
think...
This is what the Republicans do. The Republicans are keen on making nice. If you notice, they're always on message. If Rush Limbaugh is saying something, the entirety of Fox Network is saying it, and then politicians are saying it as well. That's the
And you don't think that...
It's not enough.
Is a red flag for Hillary Clinton?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think everything that they're going to use against Hillary Clinton has been used, and she's of course Bernie is my candidate. I voted for him in the primary, but I just told a lot of people my private information. But I mean, I feel wholeheartedly
about
that.
Somehow, I think they probably gathered that about 15 minutes ago.
Indeed, but in order to be honest with folks, I also penned an article about how it's time for the progressives to line up behind Hillary Clinton, because everything is pointing to the fact that she's going to be the nominee. She has already a larger lead than President Obama ever had over her in 2008.
Well, we are glad that you stopped by to talk with
Indeed.
Us
it's always good
about
to be
politics
home.
Here in the Village.
Indeed.
Mundell Robinson, our political consultant and analyst and contributor. We are back in a moment to talk about Memphis in May, and we also have the Village Verse with Reverend Rhonda Aldridge from St. Louis. So make sure you stay with us.
The National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard, aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Honey, did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell the Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Village Celebration on JoyNet Radio. So glad that you are with us. Let's go now to our Village Verse, and we are joined by Reverend Rhonda Aldridge. How are you today, Reverend Aldridge? And thank you for joining us today.
Oh, you are more than welcome, and I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And I just know I'm about to get better because you are bringing us a message from one of my favorite psalms, the 23rd Psalm.
Yes, and it is so inspiring, and I am gearing this message toward our graduating class of 2016.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
so
is...
I'm hoping that it will inspire and encourage them on their journey ahead.
Because, you know, graduating is such a milestone, and along with that accomplishment comes a little bit of anxiety. What do I
yes.
do now?
Yes, and many uncertainties and, you know, the time and effort spent into completing their task at hand and just the uncertainties of what is to come next.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to the Word.
Okay, and the 23rd Psalm reads as follows. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so I consider the book of Psalm as the hallmark card to the world.
Mm-hmm.
There is a word of comfort for every occasion that we experience in life. It includes words of joy and lament, prayers and praise, blessings and thanksgiving, and God's words of love, encouragement, and inspiration, which we find in the 23rd Psalm. I want to lift up 8 short points. At this time, I'll do 4 from this passage that will assist and encourage you for the life journey ahead. And this is to salute our 2016 graduates.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's provision.
Mm-hmm.
God has provided for you financially, emotionally, and spiritually, as you have sacrificed money and time, and in some instances, experienced breakdowns and meltdowns to complete the necessary requirements to have your name added to the scroll of graduates of 2016. The next one is, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's relaxation. I encourage you to not move too quickly in your transitioning from, if it's a high school graduate, to college, or a college graduate who may be entering into a graduate school or moving into their career. Take some sacred time mm-hmm. for yourself to relax your mind, your body, and your spirit. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's restoration. I'm sure you're running on empty, but yet feeling like you can run an extra mile with all of the excitement that is to come. But from the countless semesters of late nights studying, and of course, I'm sure you've all experienced hitting that send button down to the wire to meet the deadlines for final papers. Let God restore you and fill you up for the next challenges ahead. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's direction.
Mm-hmm.
Create a quiet space and listen to the small, still voice of God and allow him to pilot your plane. Or as we know from the words of Kirk Franklin, let Jesus take the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Let God direct your steps and guide you on your journey ahead. As you take flight, spread your wings and soar. And that's all that I have at this moment. And so there will be definitely uncertainties along
mm-hmm.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes mistakes may even be made.
Of course.
And oftentimes you will have more questions than you do answers. But what I encourage you to do is draw closer to God and let his correction prevent you from making or feeling as though you have been rejected.
That is beautiful. That is so encouraging. I really like your description of the Psalms as the Hallmark card to the world. And those 4 points, provision, relaxation, restoration, and direction. It's wonderful. It's encouraging whether you're graduating or continuing on in your normal routine, Reverend Aldrich. Thank you so much. And you'll join us next Thursday, and we'll complete the psalm with the following 4 verses.
That is correct. And thank you so much for sharing this time with me and allowing me the opportunity to what I hope will inspire and encourage our graduates as they move on into the next phase of their life.
Thank you so much. Back in a moment.
Thank you.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Hey, Glenn.
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation.
Yeah.
He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
I can smell the barbecue all the way from Memphis. Can you? That's barbecue at Memphis in May. Kyle Nelson here, back from the festival. Hey, maybe that's you.
It could be me.
It could possibly be me. Smelling like barbecue. Mm-hmm. Did you eat barbecue while you were at the Memphis in May festival?
I actually did not eat any barbecue, but there was a vast variety of food. I had Mandarin, had some Greek, had fish. I just ate a lot.
So it is a food festival, plus a music festival, plus an art festival. It's just a good time.
It's just a great time.
All along Bill Street and elsewhere.
Yes.
So you took some great photos.
Thank you.
I think my favorite is the singer, is it Jason Derulo?
Jason Derulo, yes.
And it looks like he's standing in front of a kaleidoscope or a stained glass. That's a very cool photo. Mm-hmm. Now, these photos are on our website, thevillagecelebration.com. So in case you have been under a rock, like a few of us have, let's listen to Jason Derulo, who performed at the Memphis in May Festival the first weekend. Now, the festival goes pretty much the entire month of May.
Yes.
So you can eat all you want, see all the art you want, listen to music.
Yes.
What was most impressive to you about the festival?
How everyone was able to get along together. You know, just a lot of people, a lot of different personalities. You don't really know how things would go, but everyone was there for one reason, that was to have a good time and enjoy music and food, and it was just a great atmosphere.
So as our contributor on this story, I saw the photo of the B.B. King Boulevard. And, of course, Mr. King has this great club on Bill Street. And this is the first festival after his passing. What was the mood like in his club?
It was very, very electric, I would say. It was packed throughout the weekend, at night, in the daytime. And a lot of artists during their performances did tributes to B.B. King at, during the festival. And you could really tell that he had his mark on the city.
Definitely. That's such a great club. Really enjoyed it. And Mr. King, just an amazing performer. I once had a chance to see him out in Seattle, and I thought he was just an unforgettable performer. So his spirit was felt at the festival. Yes. So Jason Derulo, that picture I mentioned. So let's listen a little bit to Jason Derulo.
All right.
So let's admit it, we were having a party here. The Village is having a party to Jason Derulo. I do love that song. And how was he performing?
He was much better than I thought he would be. And I say that because a lot of mainstream artists are not as good live, I would say.
Sometimes we're disappointed. They don't sound as good on stage as they do in the car.
But he was a great performer. Even with all the dancing and moving, he still could hold a great note.
So you can see why this is such a big deal for festival goers really all over the country. It's one of the first spring festivals.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it was one of the first. I'm looking forward to Riverfest as well, and this was a great start to start the music festivals, you know, around.
Yeah, this is a great kickoff. Memphis in May is a great way to start the summer festivals, and then there are jazz festivals in Kansas City and St. Louis and really all around the country, Monterey, California, and then if you want to go to Canada, you can just party all summer. So this kind of kicks it off. Thank you so much for going to Memphis for the Village.
No problem. Thank you.
You represented us well. Again, you can see Kyle Nelson's photos on our website, thevillagecelebration.com. Before you leave us, do you have a favorite photo?
I would say one of my favorite photos was one that I took of someone holding their phone. They were Snapchatting, and
I got a
chance to snap a picture of the phone, and then the phone showed the view of the stage, so that's my favorite photo.
That is a very cool photo, so go to thevillagecelebration.com and check out Kyle Nelson's photos. And back in a moment with Dr. Diane Marshall. Settling into your new job.
I like the company and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Start your day the correct way. The JC Loves Morning Show.
If you project yourself as heavily involved in politics, you're going to draw guys that's heavily involved in politics. If you project yourself as a woman and go to the club, you're going to attract guys that go to the club. If you project yourself as a gambling, you're going to attract guys that like gambling. If you project yourself as a church girl, you're going to attract a church man. What? I don't understand what the problem is.
Now get out of my face, boy. I'm late for work.
You got it. The Joy Network.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with a vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Listening to the Village Celebration, and we are joined now by our Village Doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall. Dr. Marshall, how's it going this week?
Hello, hello, Vicki.
Hello,
everything's
hello.
Well. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Electronic cigarettes, do they work?
Good question, Vicki. And the reason I'm so interested in this topic is because just the other day I was reading a journal article. And it was a group of physicians with the Britain's Royal College of Physicians in the UK who thought that it would be okay for physicians to start advising their patients to use electronic cigarettes as a means of helping to quit smoking.
Mm.
Now, this probably is going to stir up some controversy. We do know electronic cigarettes still contain nicotine. Now, is it harmful or is it not? Well, in order for it to have its effects, nicotine itself, you know, is a stimulant. People smoke and get addicted to cigarettes because of nicotine. Now, it's the tobacco in cigarettes that actually cause the cancer and the heart disease and the lung disease. So I'm still on the fence about whether or not I want to prescribe electronic cigarettes mm-hmm. because, number one, I don't know what's in the liquid in which the nicotine is put in,
mm-hmm.
and you also have to use some type of method to cause the vaping or to cause the smoke. So I think we're all still on the fence about it. We do know that it's not as potentially dangerous as regular cigarettes because of the tar and tobacco not being in it. However, I do not want people to be fooled into thinking that nicotine itself is not addictive.
So I can see where this would create some consternation with the nicotine, even in these electronic cigarettes, and should doctors prescribe them? Even if they're considered a stopgap measure or a way to wean a smoker off cigarettes.
Right. And I like that, Vicki. I think that what we should do as physicians is tell patients that if you're considering using electronic cigarettes, you really need to use it kind of like you said, as a way to wean yourself off of regular cigarettes. Do not exchange one form for the other.
So what else is going on in the medical world that we need to focus on? Zika, for one, which we discussed last week. And as we head into summer, any particular concerns about summer safety, water sports, of course, the importance of children learning to swim?
Well, as always, with any type of summer safety and water sports, number one, yes, learn how to swim. But even if you do not swim, do not forget to put on your life jacket. It just does not make sense for anyone to be in the water who cannot swim and just think it's safe to be in a boat or on the banks without a life jacket. And with the, as with everything else, certainly make sure you're putting on your sunscreen. You saw that the Olympics are actually going to be in an area of the country where we are still concerned about Zika. So there's been so much hoopla lately in the news whether or not the Olympic Games for the summer should be canceled or postponed. I can tell you I don't think they're going to cancel them, but I think people should just take precautions when it comes to preventing themselves from having mosquito bites.
I think so as well. Even though most of us or many of us are not going to the Olympics in Brazil, we still need to keep a close eye on this particular mosquito, which just seemed to come out of nowhere.
Absolutely, because just like we talked about, even though you might not be directly bitten by the mosquito, someone who has can transmit that disease to you. So we've got to be real cautious.
We do. What about new inhalers if you have asthma and other breathing problems? There are some new ones on the market. Are you seeing where they are useful, giving some hope to those who suffer from asthma?
Well, I mean, they're constantly coming up with new inhalers that have medicines that are specifically designed for patients who have COPD or asthma, typically your steroid inhalers. Whether or not one is better over the other, well, it's kind of an individual thing. But the most important thing for asthmatics, again, let's stop smoking. And if electronic cigarettes help you to stop smoking, then let's do so. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about getting back to electronic cigarettes, I want to caution people about is that if you have small children in the house, make sure you put that away because it does contain a liquid vapor. And children, it has been shown that if they get a hold of this and swallow it,
it
can cause significant, serious side effects. So we want to keep kids out of the emergency room this summer. Put away those electronic cigarettes so that they don't think it's a toy.
And we want to protect their lungs as well.
Absolutely.
So many reasons to stop smoking.
So many reasons. Remember, smoking kills. It's what the most preventable form of death that I can think of. Mm. And not only does it kill the person who smokes, people die from the secondhand smoke. Mm-hmm. So let's focus on quitting tobacco use. If we have to use electronic cigarettes, let's do so temporarily and put it out of the way of the children.
We'll use them on our way to something better, and that's a smoke-free life. Just passing through the electronic cigarette. Dr. Day, it's good to talk with you as always.
Same here, Vicki.
Have a good rest of the night.
You too.
Memphis in May. Are you going to Memphis in May, which is one of the biggest festivals we've already said on the planet? Today, the barbecue competition started. We're talking 235 competitive teams from 22 states and, yes, 5 foreign countries. 1 grand champion, though. So this big festival has a barbecue competition, a lot of food, as Kyle Nelson told us, great music, and it brings in a lot of the music icons. Mavis Staples performing at the Memphis in May Festival. Meghan Trainor, who is a new superstar in the music industry. Paul Simon, who is a legend. As we wrap up the Village Celebration podcast today, we leave you with Mavis Staples, who's performed all around the world at the White House and this month at Memphis in May. You've been listening to the Village Celebration podcast. I'm Vicki Newton. Just do it, something on now, play on it, play on it.
wanna go? My, my, my. Don't you wanna go? If you do, come on and go with me. Come on and go with me. Well, well, if you think you're ready now, well, no.
Article in the newspaper.
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes.